Last summer was a trying one for any venture that depended upon people spending time outdoors. Months of wildfire smoke canceled or curtailed many events. Our next guest can tell you all about it. Teddy Abrams is the musical director and conductor of the Brit Orchestra, which usually spends 3 weekends playing music on the Brit Festival hillside in Jacksonville. Instead, smoke forced the orchestra to spend 2 weekends at North Medford High School, and the final weekend was canceled outright. The Brit Orchestra is thinking about the future. It just updated its name. It's now the Brit Festival Orchestra, or BFO, and just signed Teddy Abrams up for 5 more years. He's our guest in the studio once again. Teddy Abrams, welcome back to The Exchange.
Great to be here.
So let's talk about last summer first. That must have been a bit of a bummer to be in a position of responsibility over something like that that just ended up not being what you'd planned.
Yeah, I mean, what can you do in a situation like that? I mean, the fires devastated so much of the cultural life here. I mean, I feel for everybody, and of course, it goes beyond any performance or anything like that, and speaks to the health of the community. And I often say that as a cultural organization, we are about cultural health and about the lives that we're able to lead here and the quality of life. But maybe this is just kind of an indicator of a bigger picture issue that we all have to work together to address. And normally, and you wouldn't think of an orchestra as exactly at the forefront of environmental issues, or I mean, that's just not something that you would associate with each other. That, something like a large scale musical organization and the kind of political or environmental ramifications of our times. But I think now we're all in this. There's this recognition that this is happening right now. We have to work together to address a problem that could go so far beyond, a single week of concerts, a single season that's tough for the Brit Festival or the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and start to look at what this means for the region and how the cultural life connects with the actual health, the physical health of the community. I often steer pretty clear of anything that's overtly political. As a musician in the form that I come in, which is a conductor of an orchestra, I see myself as a person who's supposed to bring people together. I'm not trying to make political statements as a conductor. I want an orchestra to be for absolutely everyone. I want this to be a forum for people to come together and have a genuine experience of all backgrounds, of all musical backgrounds, but of all human backgrounds. But now we're talking about something that goes beyond the political, goes beyond the ideology. We're talking about a situation that threatens the very vitality of our community. And so it's just weird to be talking about environmental science or anything like that as a conductor, but this is our region here, and I'm going to do everything that I can as a cultural leader here to fight for it. So we can't suffer losses like that. We can't suffer losses that are cultural losses, which will lead to physical health issues and much else that's detrimental to
a lot of other things tied in there. Just in terms of financial stuff, this must have been quite a blow to the Brit Festival, because we're talking about, you still have to pay the musicians even without the concerts, right?
Yeah, and of course, most of the concerts that we presented actually ended up being very well attended, and we were so grateful for the school district for letting us perform at the great auditorium that they provided, which was a wonderful example of us all working together. But one great thing about Brit is that Brit is a strong organization. It's a resilient organization, and one of the smartest things about Brit was that a long time ago, of course, the idea to produce concerts that went way beyond the orchestra, pops concerts, comedy events. They used to have dance, all kinds of things that would be more of a kind of traditional presenter model, not a big loss model, which is what an orchestra is. I mean, an orchestra is the true but kind of perfect definition of a nonprofit, something that will always cost
it won't
more.
Make money, right?
It can't make money, and the whole idea is that just like any great kind of cultural idea, it's something that's for the greater good, something that's for the greater health, I would say, of the community. But Brit had this idea to expand its season beyond the orchestra to help pay for the orchestra, because the orchestra is kind of the gem, the heart, and the soul of that organization. So it's actually in a pretty good position relative to what you would have expected. But yes, these are things that we have to think about, and we have to dream up big creative solutions. It's something I'm thinking about every single day, and I know my colleagues at OSF think about that too.
Teddy Abrams, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the conductor of the Brit Festival Orchestra, BFO. It got that name just yesterday in a news release. And here's Teddy in front of us, having signed up for 5 more years. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. You can join the conversation on the Exchange as we talk about music, art, and reality as they've all collided on the Brit Festival hillside in Jacksonville last summer. 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So are you thinking about bringing some of the pieces back from the third weekend? Because that concert just never happened, right?
Yeah, there were two concerts that never happened. And I think we're kind of looking at different repertoire. I mean, part of the challenge is, yes, we want to give our musicians a chance to play some of the stuff that we originally programmed. But remember, our musicians come from all over the place. They're all-star musicians. So for them, these are not pieces that they're just seeing this one time at Brit. Most of the musicians have played the repertoire that we select when it's traditional repertoire many, many times in their home orchestras, in their professional life outside of Brit. So it's not like they're sitting there saying, oh gosh, we didn't play the X symphony this particular season. Now we're going to have to wait for Brit to program that again. That's not the case, because they all go back to their full-time gigs. So we're actually looking at doing something that's a little different, and we'll release more information about this. But the orchestra is so fantastic. It's always been great, but the quality is at such an exceptional level that we can revamp the schedule to actually play more performances now, because the orchestra can absorb music so incredibly quickly. It's incredibly impressive. And what we're able to do is start thinking about, how do we really create this festival vibe? So that rather than feeling like, well, we've put together a season of just a bunch of concerts, when you know that the Brit Festival Orchestra is in town, it feels like the whole hill is alive with music for 3 weeks, not just when they play the performances, but there's more going on. It feels like a true very involved, a deep-rooted music festival. And so we're talking about adding in a whole bunch of events and creating this additional Tuesday stream of concerts, where we really kind of think outside the box as to what an orchestra can be. And we haven't really released that yet, so I guess the listeners are kind of hearing this for the first time. But that's the idea, so that on Tuesdays you'd have kind of new format concerts. It could be anything. It could be family-oriented shows. It could be a dance night on the hill where the orchestra's playing salsa or timba music. It could be something where the musicians have actually selected all the pieces themselves, but something experimental that changes the format expectations of a concert.
That'd be fun. Tuesdays through it looks like July 22nd is when this all starts.
Yeah, that's the thinking right now. And then we'd also have our traditional kind of 6 big concerts. Mm-hmm. But within that, we're thinking about, how do we take the next step to create kind of futuristic models of performances? And that doesn't stop, regardless of fires or anything like that. We're going to fight fires, as a parallel track to what we're doing, and we're going to actually try and address environmental issues in our programming too, just because this is our community and this is something that we're all facing together.
Well, I was going to ask you about that though, because you mentioned that you try to steer away from the political, but you don't shy away from the issues that affect society in our time. I mean, there was the piece last summer about filling out the form at the homeless shelter.
Oh yeah,
for the night. So you obviously address the issues of our times. I mean, is there anything that has come along the way that you're looking at now that might be considered for the season? I don't know if you've actually got the season locked up and you're just waiting till January 24th. More likely, you're still working on
it. We're still working on it. I could say we have some unbelievable soloists that are coming in. I want to say the names, but I think I'm prohibited from saying the names just
sure.
Now. But yeah, it's really interesting, because if you play a piece of music is not necessarily, especially orchestral music, is not designed to be about something. It's the classic Leonard Bernstein example, where at his young people's concerts, he played, without explaining anything, the Lone Ranger theme, which of course is also the William Tell overture. And he told the kids that this piece of music was about cowboys. And then he said, oops, I was wrong, it's actually about spaceships. And then he said, oops, I was wrong, it's actually about a Swiss freedom fighter. And I mean, That's one of the great joys and one of the great powers of music, that it's not about something that's specific, especially when it doesn't have lyrics like most of the music that we play as an orchestra. The takeaway is the experience that you have with that music. It's not what we told you about that music. It's the experience that you have in the moment of absorbing a language that's really designed to bind the human being together with other people that live amongst us. That's the power of it. And so simply programming a piece that's about a contemporary issue it only speaks to part of the power of what we can do. What we can really do is offer, I think, an alternative to the strife and the conflict and the disintegration that's so often felt amongst people of different backgrounds and different beliefs, and offer an opportunity for us to be as one. And we need those opportunities, and that's why music is always going to be this ultimately a powerful and binding agent.
So you just mentioned something about Leonard Bernstein. And you did get to play the materials for his centenary at the concerts, right?
Yes, we did get to fully celebrate Leonard Bernstein's 100th birthday.
Okay, so you don't have to go to 101 years of Bernstein.
No, I mean, it was an amazing experience, actually. I ended up doing something that I loved being a part of. The Kennedy Center actually asked me to come out and put on the official Bernstein birthday party there. And there was this moment, this was on the day, the actual August 2025, mm-hmm. and I'm standing just a few feet as we're playing this from where Bernstein himself inaugurated the Kennedy Center. This is just like a ridiculous situation and completely overwhelming, realizing that this was our day. As a musician in America, we don't have a lot of days where everybody takes a step back and points to a composer and says, what a great American hero who did something that we're all proud of, proud of as a country, proud of as a people, who represented, I think, the very best of what music can be, an open spirit to making music. And it was this amazing thing because, as an orchestral musician, there are very few days when you feel like what you do is culturally relevant in the mainstream. And that was one of them where, even – I thought it was a stupid thing, but on Google – They had the little doodle as Leonard Bernstein. Uh-huh. We don't have many of those days, and it was one of those great little boosts, just saying, what we do really matters, and that's what Bernstein tried to explain to people, that music really matters, and great music really matters, and more importantly, everybody deserves to have access to great music and a relationship with it. And I felt like by celebrating that here at Brit, and then a whole bunch of other places, in fact, so much that people are often calling it burned out. but it was one of these times when we could all kind of look to a hero and say this is what people can do with music if you really have a great vision.
Teddy Abrams is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the conductor and music director at the Brit Festival Orchestra, which has been named the Brit Festival Orchestra officially since yesterday, complete with logos showing Teddy coming out of the O in BFO. So you can tell he's going to be around for a while. We'll talk about him signing up for 5 more years. You can join our conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Was there any hesitation in signing up for 5 more years to come out to the Brit Festival?
Not at all. Not at all. I love this place. This is a very, very special place. The orchestra is exceptional, and it keeps growing and getting stronger every single year. And of course, despite fires and environmental concerns, I actually think that this is a wonderful opportunity. We have to look for the great opportunities there to address this together as a community and as an arts organization. So I don't shy away from that kind of challenge. I think the arts are going to have an amazing ability to get people motivated to do something that supports our community. But even beyond that, I've fallen in love with the region here, and I've fallen in love with Brit and Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville is kind of this amazing special Brigadoon-like place, and I don't know. There's a vibe and a spirit there that allows something like Brit to happen. And watching the combination of musicians that come to Brit every single year and musicians that come for the very first time, watching that kind of melding between people who know why it's great and people who are just discovering that, and you can see it on their faces as they come here and get the kind of full Brit impact and experience and the specialness kind of through their veins. Watching that is magic for me, and that's why I signed up. I love it.
Is there any issue with trying to get musicians to come here, given that the summers do get hot even when they don't get smoky, and then you've got the smoky on top of that?
You know, it's always going to be a challenge. But look, much of the world is going to be dealing with environmental issues. I mean, it's not just us. It was the entire West Coast. I was just playing a concert in the Bay Area, and, I mean, it's November, and there are fires. And, of course, we're all going to be addressing this together. So, yes, there may be some challenge for people that are sensitive to it health-wise, but a lot of people said that this was their favorite year at Brit because there was some kind of magic to us all saying, okay, now we're dealing with a big issue, but it's about circumventing that and coming up with creative solutions and just all pulling together.
Driving off to North Medford High School and doing it at the Sholand Auditorium.
Exactly. And it was actually a great kind of bonding experience for the orchestra. And I can tell you, at the very end, there was kind of a sad night where, you know, it was one of those canceled rehearsal days, and everybody went up to the Brit Hill because they'd cleared just for like 5 hours. And it was just magically 5 hours. I have no idea why. But everybody went up there, and there were maybe, you know, 50-something musicians all just lying down on the hill watching the stars. It was the first time we'd been able to see that in 3 weeks. And I watched this, and it was like a big family in a way that as much as it's been like a family in the past few years, there was something special about this last season despite the challenges. And I think it was just even more of a sign of how powerful and how special the organization is and how much we have to do in the future. And you know, one of the things that was particularly exciting about this past season is this program that we started. I had no idea it would kind of take off, but we call it our Composer-Conductor Fellowship. And it's a project where we take a really top-level composer, somebody who has a big career as a composer, not a beginner, but somebody who's never conducted before. And we trained them to conduct. We had a great composer named Christopher Cerrone, who was our composer in residence just this last season, and he had never conducted before. And if you came to, I think it was maybe the second or third concert of the season, he was conducting the Egmont Overture of Beethoven, which is exactly what we needed to happen. We need composers who have experience up there conducting, and then we played one of Chris's pieces. And I'll never forget, the audience was so with Chris because they just seen him conducting. They had this relationship with him. So when we played his piece of music, even though it was a short relationship, there was this sense of, oh, we're behind this guy. We can have this window or door to access his musical language because we've just seen him. We have a relationship with him. And I was just reminded, like, that's one of the cool things that is going on at Brit, and we've seen a whole slew of top talented composers line up to do this. So we're going to keep going. We're going to keep expanding and growing.
Did you have any sleepless nights, though, over the last year, over what happened at Brit last summer with smoke messing up your season?
Well, it was, you know, it was challenging, but again, it was just the orchestra sounded so amazing, and the community rallied behind it that it's more just that I know things are going to keep getting better if we address them all together.
Teddy Abrams is the music director and the conductor of the Brit Festival Orchestra, BFO. New initials and new outlook as of yesterday. He's signed up for 5 more years as conductor. They'll be announcing the season, it looks like, on Thursday, January 24th. So I guess we're going to be seeing you again a few times before the summer.
That's right. Absolutely.
Teddy Abrams, thanks so much. Always good to see you.
Thanks so much.